What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Midnight Terrors podcast. My name is Kevin, and I am here with sexy boy Roy, R. Jacob Honeybrook, also known as Roy. What's up, dude?
Oh man, I'm just over here handing out sexinators left and right on these fools.
Sexinators.
That was the finisher, the spin and heel kick.
Is your quote at the end, "I'll be back"?
Mean, it should have been. I don't think I was smart enough back in my backyard wrestling days to even come up with a catchphrase. I think I was just relying on the sexiness that wasn't there because I was about 130 pounds soaking wet.
Is wrestling on your mind because of the John Cena heel turn?
I think that's on everyone's minds, man. That is everywhere. The memes have
Oh
been out of
man,
hand.
my brother showed me that. And how do you feel about that?
Oh, man. I would have been way more behind it about 10, 15 years ago. But
If
at
you
this
didn't know it
point,
was coming.
I didn't know it was coming. It was still pretty cool. But at the same time, I'm just like, let the guy go out as a
Dude,
hero.
it is such fan service.
I know.
Like, it's unreal. We want heel, so they're gonna do it in his last run.
Well, if you remember, he almost won heel when he was going up against Kane in like 2012, that time frame, 2011, and they just never pulled the trigger, and now they do it, and it's like, do we really need a 50-year-old John Cena running around causing havoc?
Dude, he's been like the poster child for WWE for so long that I can't take him seriously as the villain.
Yeah, that's the thing. I noticed it at the Rumble because, since he's been gone the majority of the time when he does come back, I'm like, oh, cool. John Cena's coming out. I don't hate him as much anymore. He's not shoved down my throats. It's shoved down my throat. I don't have multiple throats. And as soon as he gets in the ring, I'm just sick of him because he's making these goofy faces and just over exaggerating everything. I'm just like, no wonder I never liked this fuck.
Well, like my brother was watching Raw, I guess, is where that happened. Is that right?
It happened at the Elimination
At the
Chamber on
Elimination
Saturday
Chamber. Okay.
night.
Well, my brother came and showed me the clip, and he goes, "Here, I think you might have some thoughts on it." And he didn't tell me what was going to happen, and so he put the clip on, and like it started with Cody Rhodes saying to The Rock, "You can go fuck yourself."
Yep.
And I thought that, I was like, is that what you're asking my thoughts on? Is that they cursed? And I'm like, that's interesting. And he goes, no, that is interesting too, though. And he said, just wait. Dude, most underwhelming heel turn ever.
Really?
Like, I was so like, I didn't know it was coming, but I also was just like, really? A kick in the balls is how he turns heel?
Well, he beat the shit out of him with his Rolex and his
Yeah.
championship belt. Not
Dude,
for
if
you.
we're gonna. I think my favorite heel turn, off the top of my head, is Seth Rollins when he broke up the Shield.
Oh, fuck Seth Rollins.
But I also just, I don't know, man. Like, I can't take it seriously, but I guess I will save that for another podcast.
Well, you strike me as you were a Cena fan as a kid, all goody two shoes and stuff.
I take that. Hey, I resemble that remark.
Is that a quote from a movie?
Yeah, it's Space Jam.
Oh my God, I haven't seen Space Jam since I was in elementary school.
It's the chicken that's like, hey, I resemble that remark.
I always like the Cogburn Leghorn, Foghorn
Sure.
Leghorn.
Or is it a rooster? I don't
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn. Well, I only know that because sometimes when I'm driving, I like to mix up my road rage cursing, and I'll call somebody a what do I call him? Like a cuckbag fuckhorn.
Okay. On that note, yes, I was a John Cena fan, but we'll save that for another
Ugh.
day. Roy, welcome back. How is it going, man?
Yes, welcome to Midnight Terrors, right?
How's it
Well,
going, man?
how's it going? It has been a crazy 2 weeks. I'm getting my ass handed to me over here, but like 75% in a good way. So, I'm here for it. A lot of things going on with the Honeycutt. A lot of things going on with this podcast. Just craziness happening, but mostly good. How about you, man?
I'm doing good, man. A lot of good things going on. Dude, it's a great fucking day today because guess who just released a new song? Did you see it?
Let me think of your favorite bands. Motionless in White, Ice Nine Kills, Amity Affliction. None? Slipknot?
No, get out of the heavy realm.
Sleep Token?
No, you're getting close though.
Ghost.
Yes.
Ah, I knew I'd get it.
Ghost announced a new record. They unveiled their front man for this album cycle. They released a new song. And I have been jamming that shit all day, so it's a good day.
Awesome, man. Alestorm just they announced their new album coming out and they have pre-orders available.
Oh,
And
dude,
every
I was just looking at their Spotify like 2 days ago, wondering where a new record was.
Oh, it's coming out in June, and for the past records, I've always ordered like the big wooden box because it's like the one thing I buy for myself every couple years. But I want to go buy like the big wooden box pack this year. For some reason, I don't know if I had to do this before, but I have to order it from Europe. And it's like $20 just to ship. So before taxes, it was going to be like $70. And I'm like, God damn, guys, I don't know if I can do it this time.
How
This is
much do
getting
you love your
nuts.
pirate metal, man?
I mean, I fucking love my pirate metal, but I don't know if I love it's, you know, I mean, you throw some taxes on that bitch, that's going to be like $80 for a
There you
CD I'm
go.
not going to use.
There you go. But yeah, it's a good day, man. It's a good day, and an even better day today because the reason why we're actually here is not to talk about wrestling or music.
You don't say.
Well, actually, we might talk about some music later, but
We may.
we are here to talk about a movie. And Roy, you know, the last thing that people heard us discuss was deep intellectual creativity talk with stop motion, right?
Correct.
We were gonna do a different movie that I think we name dropped on there on that episode, which we're still gonna probably do. I'm gonna see if it lines up for us to do both this week, but. You know, I just got back from Mad Monster and I met some cool people while I was there, one of which is in the movie we're talking about today. And I was like, you know what? We need just some ridiculous, over-the-top fun. And here we are. I cannot believe it took us over 100 episodes to get here because we're talking about my pick of Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys haven't done this one, but it's like you said before, you haven't done a lot of the real milestone horror movies.
No, because one, there's always an element of like, what do you say about them?
That's what I was thinking. What hasn't been said already?
But two, I don't know, man. We use the podcast so much to cover new ground that it's always like fun, but you know, kind of not the go-to go to movies that we know really well. Like Freddy versus Jason, we're gonna talk about, but this is a movie I didn't need to rewatch. For the podcast, like I have watched this so much, but I wanted to because I hadn't seen it in a while. And again, coming back from Mad Monster, one of the people I met was Ken Kersinger, who plays Jason in Freddy versus Jason. So after talking with him, I was like, man, I haven't seen Freddy versus Jason in a long time. And then I just started watching clips, and I'm like, oh, we gotta talk about this.
Yeah, and we can get into this in the production notes, but having him play Jason instead of Kane Hodder, I really like Jason in this movie, how he looks, like everything about him. His skin's rotting, his eyes are really pronounced, he's tall and menacing and big, like everything you want Jason to be.
So, possible hot take here. This is my favorite Jason.
Damn, I it might be a hot take, but I wouldn't disagree with you. I know Kane Hodder is the fan favorite. He obviously seems like a good dude, but I do really enjoy this Jason.
Yeah, love Kane Hodder. I heard on another podcast that they needed a different build for Jason to be combative against Freddy. And so, you know, having You know, we've covered, you know, Jason Takes Manhattan on here, which was a Kane Hodder Jason. I definitely think we needed a different Jason to do it. And I think Ken, you know, he's a tall, built guy. So I think he was perfect for playing the Jason here. But, you know, it's also partly nostalgia why this is my favorite Jason, because this is the Jason I saw first. This was my introduction to Freddy and Jason, if you can believe it.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. You're a little bit younger. Probably didn't get into horror. This came out in 03, so I mean, that wouldn't probably well, you were probably what, like 10, 11 when you saw this?
I was probably late middle school, early high school when I saw this, so probably 13 or 14, 15 maybe.
Okay.
And I had heard about this movie from people, and this is how I got introduced to like the iconography of Freddy and Jason. And then I saw clips from Freddy versus Jason and then went back and actually watched like Friday the 13th and Nightmare. Probably after seeing Freddy versus Jason all the way through. I can't quite remember how that went, but yeah, this was my intro to Freddy and Jason. And so this is my favorite Jason to date.
Honestly, if you hadn't seen any of them, I think this would be a good introduction because in the beginning, I describe it as like the fight promo. They have the backstory of Freddy and the backstory of Jason, so you get a little bit of that before we get into it. And then throughout the movie, you just see all the classic Freddy staples, the dreams, the factory. He's more of a character with his jokes and stuff. Jason's more this undead slasher, rip your throat out guy.
Yeah, this
So
is actually very fitting that we were talking about wrestling because this does come off like a WWE.
I know. Oh, especially in 03, this could have been something you saw in the Ruthless Aggression era.
Dude, look at the soundtrack. Like, we are going to get to that soundtrack. But yeah, man, this was a very formative horror movie for me. Yeah, I'm glad to be revisiting it. When did you first see this?
Speaking of wrestling, for some reason, I believe the first time I saw this, it was on USA after an episode of Monday Night Raw.
Sounds
Because
right.
if you remember, if they didn't have a new episode of the TV shows or whatever, they just play a movie after wrestling. And I want to say that's where I first saw this, probably not too long after it came out, maybe a year or so. And after you, or after that, kind of like you, I'd seen it a few times. I know I've mentioned on here Showtime Beyond Saturday Splatter Day. They would always have the old school slasher films on. So Freddy vs. Jason was on there a decent amount. All the movies were The Nightmare of Friday the 13th, Halloween. So I'm sure I had seen it there a couple times. And then in college, I'd gone back and rewatched all the Halloweens, Nightmares, and Halloweens. And of course, Freddy vs. Jason is in there. So pretty familiar with this one. I actually remembered a lot more of this than I thought I did. So.
I mean, this is going to be an episode of just having a good old time talking about this because I will never be upset at watching this movie. It is quick, it is fun. Someone put it into perspective for me, and I've never been able to look back. This is a kung fu movie with Freddy and Jason.
Yeah, that's
It has the pacing of one. It has the acting. It has the story writing. I mean, like you said, they literally have Freddy do a voiceover recap to build up to the conflict of Freddy and Jason. So actually, this is a great way to get introduced to those characters because they tell you everything.
Yeah, they really do. And then, like I said, throughout it, you just kind of see the tropes of what these guys are all about. Freddy's the dream guy, Jason's the Crystal Lake guy, and it's pretty cool that we get to revisit all those places in this film as well.
So, do you have production notes on this?
Yeah, this boy, I was trying
I
to make
imagine there's
sense of them.
probably a lot
There
on
sure are.
this, 'cause this took forever, I feel like, to get to the screen
It did.
because, not to step all over your production notes potentially, but the last Jason movie, Jason Goes to Hell, was what, mid to late 90s?
Well, then Jason X was 01.
Yeah, so they, well, I kind of skipped that because it's, it is weird that that's in the middle, but the part where they started the build up to Freddy versus Jason was in the mid to late 90s with Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh yeah, because he the claw grabs his mask at the end, Freddy's claw.
Actually, I'm curious, when did that come out?
Jason
What
Goes
year?
to Hell. I think it was like 94, 95. 95, I think, because New
Let's
Nightmare was 94.
see if you're on the dot. It had to be
Come
93.
on,
So
money.
10 years.
93?
So 10 years to get to screen.
Damn, that came out before New Nightmare.
Yeah, that is crazy. But yeah, what do you got production notes wise for this?
All right, so the original concept of Freddy vs. Jason dates back to 1987.
Damn.
So about 2 decades to get this thing out there. Really, the 80s, 90s, and
Wow,
2000s, damn near three.
that's weird because Freddy would have only been around for 3 years by the time they started working on that. But
Yeah,
Jason
I
would have
mean,
been a veteran 7 years in.
and how many movies did Freddy have at that point? It had to be at least four. It was after Dream Warriors. And that was
You
what,
said
86?
87?
87 is when they first started discussing it.
So the original Nightmare on Elm Street was 84, Nightmare 2 was 85, Dream Warriors, or no, Dream Master was 88, 87. So Dream Warriors was like right about to come out or had just come out when they started working on this.
Okay, so he had a trilogy under his belt.
And then Jason was like already on his way almost to Manhattan by
That's
the time
crazy.
that rolled around. There
Dude, they
were so
cranked
many
these things
Friday
out.
movies.
Well, to give you an idea of all the movies that were made before this one when it first came to concept, and by the way, it kept hitting roadblocks. We'll talk about some of those as we go on here,
I'm
but
sure.
they just couldn't make it work. So, in the meantime, these are some of the movies that were made. Jason Takes Manhattan, Freddy's Dead, New Nightmare, Jason Goes to Hell, Jason X. All of those were made before this one.
Boy, that's so you said Jason Goes to Hell, Jason X, Freddy's Dead.
Freddy's Dead was in there. That was 91.
Was New Nightmare in there then?
Yep, 94.
Okay, New Nightmare is the only one I need from that bunch of four because the others are pretty terrible.
No Jason Takes Manhattan.
No, ew. Do I like Jason Takes Manhattan? No, I like our conversation about Jason Takes Manhattan. Yeah, Jason Goes to Hell is like hands down my least favorite Friday movie.
It's just lame. Let's be real.
And then look, I know Jason X is like guilty pleasure material, but it is a terrible fucking movie. Like if you're watching it by yourself, it is torture. And then Freddy's Dead is also my least favorite nightmare movie. Although it does have Alice Cooper, which is fun.
I don't know what it is with these horror movies that have to get into these gigantically lame backstories. Like, oh, his mom was a nun and Halloween. Oh, he's actually an Irish curse. Like, just maybe they're just killers.
Yeah, no. But yeah, New Nightmare is good. That was the revival of Freddy, and I'm here for it.
All right, so throughout the years, if I can fix my voice. So throughout the years, several names were offered as writers and directors for Freddy vs. Jason. I'm gonna list off some people here for you.
Okay.
So, people from Demon Knight were considered. People from The Thing, Guillermo del Toro and Peter Jackson at one point were offered it.
You know,
Writers.
they were very different filmmakers back then.
Yeah, for
Did
sure.
you say when you said Demon Knight, you're talking about Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight?
Yes. Yep, I know there's like a million movies named that, but yes, Tales from the Crypt, Demon
All right.
Knight.
I don't know who directed that, but I could see it.
They contacted writers from King of the Hill.
Okay.
At one point, Wes Craven was offered, and he didn't want to lower himself to that level, he said.
No, he had kind of probably wiped his hands clean of Freddy by that point because he never
You would
wanted Freddy to be
think.
a franchise anyway.
Right. And then the last one I think would have been pretty cool. Rob Zombie was asked to work on it, but he chose to do House of a Thousand Corpses instead.
I forgot that House of a Thousand Corpses was in production for that long.
Yeah, it was what, at least 3 or 4 years, something
Yeah,
like that?
I think House of a Thousand Corpses was done mostly in 2001. Or by 2001, and then the studio just didn't want to release it, so that's when they started just adding more of those weird basement shots to it, and then Rob Zombie was just like, "Ah, oh, fuck it, I'm just gonna release it now."
Because it was the merman thing that sent it over the edge, right? That's what made the production company say, "Now we're not doing this."
Something, yeah, the fish boy things.
Fish boy, yeah.
Fish boy.
Oh, what a classic scene.
Great movie.
All right, so here's a little bit about what we were talking before. So anyway, the people who were brought on to write it was Damian Shannon and Mark Swift, and it was directed by Ronnie Yu. Let's get into some of the casting. So, Kane Hodder was all set to play Jason in this one, but they went with Ken
Kurzinger.
Kurzinger. Like we were talking about, they wanted a guy who was a little bit taller to be more imposing than Freddy. Robert Englund's 5'9", he's like my height. So they got Kurzinger. He is 6'5", so he pretty much towered over Robert Englund, and that's what they wanted to do in this one, make him just like a real menacing figure. And he was actually a stuntman that worked on Jason Takes Manhattan, so he was familiar with the franchise.
Who was this?
Kurzinger.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you know what? I found out something awesome about him with his stunt work. He was the stunt coordinator for one of my favorite werewolf movies, Bad Moon from the 90s.
Oh, nice.
He was in the werewolf suit, and I asked him at the con which one was more intense stunt-wise, Freddy versus Jason or Bad Moon. And he's like, dude, Bad Moon, I was in the suit, I was the coordinator. He's like, Freddy versus Jason, I had a stunt double because it was a big budget movie.
Okay.
So,
Man. Yeah, he apparently did it all on Bad Moon.
So he's like that. Sorry, quick tangent. Bad Moon, he said that the suit weighed 85 pounds and
Wow.
he had to fight real police trained dogs.
It's like torture.
And he's like, I could not wait to get out of that suit.
Imagine how hot that is in there. It probably stinks. Probably smells like old hockey equipment. You ever smell sweaty hockey equipment? Oh my God.
But anyway, continue.
Yeah, so more on the casting. Oh, I meant to look up this guy's name. The dark-haired guy that was in the mental hospital, he's the main character, Laurie's boyfriend. You know who I'm talking about?
Lori's boyfriend? Oh, Will?
Yeah. Yes. So that is Jason Ritter. That's John Ritter's son.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I thought he looked more like Jim Carrey when I was watching this. But once I knew, saw John Ritter, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. And then
Gotcha.
Kia, Lori's friend, she was played by Kelly Rowland, who was one of the founding members of pop group Destiny's Child.
That's right. Yep.
Which, by the way, I love me some pop music, but I think Beyonce is horribly overrated.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not crazy about her music either. She's got a few good songs here and there, but
I listened to Destiny's Child before I listened to Beyonce.
that's fair.
Thought they were catchier.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I like Beyoncé's older music more so, I guess. It's a real Taylor Swift situation.
Taylor Swift's 1989 is one of the all-time greats for me.
Nope.
Really?
Hate her pop stuff. I'm sorry.
Did you know she actually named that album after us because we were both born in 1989 and I helped her write it?
Oh, geez. Anyway, continue. Let's not talk about Taylor Swift anymore.
No, we're good. This is actually working because my production notes are a hell of a mess. All right, so
Did you stick to three or did you go past it because there was so much?
I got about five. We're gonna hit the
Okay.
main ones.
Okay, go for it.
All right, so this was I think we all know this was Robert Englund's final performance as Freddy Krueger, which is crazy to think it was more than 20 years ago. And this was the highest grossing movie in each franchise. It was made for $30 million. And it brought in $116 million at the box office, so more than tripled its budget, almost quadrupled it.
Oh yeah, it's a juggernaut for sure. And I know there's always been talk of like we want Robert Englund back for one more movie. Honestly, in retrospect, like I'm okay with this being his send-off.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
You know,
It's
to
a
go
and
back to
it's
wrestling, everybody wanted to see Undertaker keep going, and then his matches just got progressively worse. It's like,
Well,
do
it's
you
not
really
even
want to see
that. It's
that?
just like he goes out the way he came in. Like by the end of the movie, like the spirit of Freddy is kind of alive and well, and he had a big showdown with another iconic slasher. He gives it his all in this movie. I think this is a perfect send-off for Robert.
Yeah, and like Freddy is all the things you want in this movie. He's kind of this dark figure at points where he's this creepy dream guy. At other points, he's more jovial and kind of playing around with his victims and, you know, cracking one-liners. So, I mean, this was kind of the amalgamation of Freddy Krueger over the past 20 years. And it's like they say in wrestling again, it was this highlight reel. He was playing the greatest hits.
Yeah.
Boy, how much more can I mention wrestling? God damn.
Well,
Those are all the production notes, by the way.
let me throw one more wrestling in here. And I was Googling this just now to confirm. I guess it's kind of a rumor, but there is an IMDb credit. Rey Mysterio is credited as a jumper or a stunt double for Robert Englund for this movie.
What?
I don't know if it's actually true because something on another site said it was like a rumor, but he is credited on IMDb as a jumper. And then another site said he was a stunt double for Robert Englund.
Booyaka.
I figure it's probably during one of those fight scenes, if anything. But
But yeah, I did notice that because at one point Freddy Krueger does look a lot smaller, and you can tell it's like a guy in a mask.
and his hat is down, so you can't see his face. But I would believe it if it's true.
That would be so cool.
But if production notes are over, I mean, let's dive on in, man. Again, I don't even know where to start with this. I guess I'll start with I really like this. Like, you see the New Line Cinema logo, and I really like this mashup of the nightmare theme with the Jason in it. I think it sets a perfect mashup of the two. And then you get Freddy doing his, recap of his crimes and his, how he died and stuff. And
Which, by
again,
the way, that was really cool to see Freddy as just Robert Englund without any makeup or anything.
I know, right? Isn't that interesting? But so you get the montage, and then you get, which I think is the first time we've seen Freddy die that way. I know they do it in the remake, but I don't think that was ever in any of the other movies where there was a visual portrayal of him being burned.
I thought there was in one of them.
Is there? I'll
I
have to
thought
look it
there
up.
was. I don't, dude, it could easily be this one getting confused with the numerous other Nightmare
Yeah,
movies.
who
But I thought
knows?
there was in the 80s. There was a brief scene of him in the basement and they throw the shit in and burn him up. Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
pretty
who
sure there
knows?
was. Is this a Mandela effect?
I don't know. But so Freddy is forgotten by the people in this town, so he needs someone to remind them. So he's going to bring back Jason. Again, I have no idea why people are going to see Jason and go, "Freddy did it." But
Well, I think that was the point. They weren't supposed to actually see Jason.
yeah, I get that
Like,
the
he
idea is
was.
that they're supposed to think that it's Freddy doing it, but if they see Jason, then
That kind of ruins it.
the whole plan goes to hell.
And he's a big bastard in this, so he's hard to miss.
But then we get the resurrection of Jason, which is a great like scene, I think. It's kind of like a dream sequence of Jason. I actually don't mind the person that they got to play Jason's mom, because it's not the same person. Jason coming out of the ground and is the close up of his eyes opening up, which I believe Ken said was his audition scene, was we have this topless woman at the lake and he had to be creepy and walk around and then chase her. That was like his audition scene.
Least sexiest naked woman in a movie, too.
Oh, I thought she was pretty, man.
I don't know. She just kind of tossed her clothes off, like, didn't put any effort in.
Jesus. You are such a ridiculous. I don't even know what
Pig.
I'm I don't know what I'm getting at there. I love you, but you're something, dude.
A piece of work, right?
But so Jason goes to Elm Street, because Freddy, poses as Jason's mom, and we get right to some kills pretty much. Jason invades our main characters. Lori and all her friends are having like a party. Jason, I believe our first like real death is the boyfriend in the bed.
Dude, yes. And one of the things I love about this movie is just how unapologetically brutal and
Yes.
gruesome it is. Like, it does not shy away from just blood spray and mangled bodies. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, Gib, who, by the way, is played by the sister from Ginger Snaps, which was awesome. So it's her abusive boyfriend, Trey, who is, while she's in the shower, he gets stabbed a bunch in his back, and then Jason folds up the bed.
Oh my God. And it just like snaps this guy in half. It's amazing. His spine is just shattered.
Yeah, this is a bloody fucking movie, dude.
Yeah, because.
The first death we saw technically on screen that was like a new death was Jason's dream sequence where he impaled the girl on the tree. Obviously we saw Freddy's like montages, but
I'm what I mean, the thing that was cool about this is like the what was that thing that censored all the slasher movies back in the day? The NPAA or whatever.
MPAA,
They, I guess they were just gone at this point
yeah.
because
Well, it wasn't the 80s anymore, so.
yeah. Dude, it was it, but like this is everything you would want from those slashers back then. When he stabs this dude in the bed, the sheets are just soaked in blood. There's blood squirting out everywhere. It's like, this
Yeah,
is
no,
what I
this
want to
is
see.
so okay. So I remembered the acting in this movie being a lot better than it is.
Oh, God.
but rewatching it now, 22 years later, this is right at home with Friday and Nightmare with
Oh,
this
yeah.
acting.
That's what you want in these type of movies. I don't
Yeah,
want an Academy
it is an
Award
80s
thing.
movie in the 2000s because there is a lot of
That's a great
boobs,
way to
there's a
put it.
lot of blood, there's bad acting, there's one-liners. Like, it could have been released in the 80s when they wanted it to. But yeah, that's our first kill.
Well,
Freddy.
I think that you saying that brings up a good point in that it captures the spirit really of both of these movies.
Oh yeah.
It
Like
wasn't
the
just,
old the OG
yeah,
spirit of them.
it wasn't just some cash grab to do this. You could tell they really put a lot of passion into this because it does have that feel to it that this could have been something out of 88 or whatever. I don't
Yeah,
know why I chose 88.
no Nintendo Power Glove kills, no space. Very
Just
much
brutality.
just a slasher. I think our next kill is Trey's friend, Blake and his dad.
Oh my God, yeah.
Thank God for Wikipedia because I never remember any of these characters' names.
No, dude, they're so disposable.
But Blake, is on the porch, saying to his dad, like, my friend was just killed, like, leave me alone. And then he wakes up from a dream sequence because Freddy's not strong enough to kill Blake yet. And he looks, he wakes up and he goes, oh, dad, I had a nightmare. And his dad's head just falls off.
That's still fucked up. Like, I remember when I first saw it, it surprised me and I knew it was coming, and even Stone just like, this is messed up.
Yeah, you can kind of see the slit on his neck, but then his head just falls off.
Well,
And blink and you miss it. When Jason goes to slash Blake, Blake holds up his dad's severed head as like a shield.
yeah. Well, that's why I wasn't sure if he was dead at first, because he holds the head up and then you just see all the blood spray on the house. I'm like, did he just cut the head? And then the next scene, the kid's dead. So it's like,
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
killed the kid. But I'll tell you what, man, one thing I noticed when I was watching this is that how memorable some of these kills are. Like when I think of Freddy and Jason, a lot of kills I think of are from this movie, that being one of them. The massacre at the rave, different stuff like that. It's like, man, this movie really hit it on the head with a lot of stuff.
And
What am I saying? Hit the nail on
I've
the head.
heard some complaints that this is basically just a nightmare movie with Jason in it, but I don't see that as a problem because I feel like Jason doesn't talk, so Jason can't really guide a story on his own. So I feel like having Freddy as like the center of the movie is you have to.
Yeah, and when you said about Kiesinger,
Kurzinger.
when you said about Kurzinger auditioning for Jason, I was thinking like, how do you do that? Did you show
Be
up and look
physically
badass?
scary. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So having Freddy as like the one that's pulling the strings and guiding the story in a way, like you have to because Jason doesn't speak.
It makes sense, yeah.
He's a mindless killing machine basically. And so, we have some creepy fucking nightmare sequences though at the beginning.
Yes, I love these. Very surreal. And
Yeah.
the way the factory looks. Is this what we're talking about, the factory?
Oh no, I was talking about Lori's at the police station.
Oh yeah.
And then Freddy just pops out from the side at the end.
Yeah, I did like a lot of the dream sequences in this, but along with the bad acting, boy, the CGI in this is something else, isn't
Oh
it?
man, there is some bad CGI in here, but again, it works because it's a kung fu movie type movie. It's from the 2000s, it's playing off the 80s and the early 90s. It's fine.
I thought the bad CGI added to it as well because it's very much a product of its time.
Yeah.
How many movies did we see back then with just the worst, like PlayStation 1 graphic CGI?
Yeah, I will say watching it back, there's a lot of downtime just talking about trying to conceal Freddy before we get to like a real memorable, because you're here for like the blood and the kills and shit. And I feel like, there's a lot of scenes of just, talking about concealing Freddy. Like they have Laurie's ex-boyfriend Will and his buddy up at this mental asylum. And they find out, you find out that I did like this concept actually, that they're quarantining people who have had contact with Freddy, giving them Hypnosil so that they won't like talk about Freddy out in the community.
Let me ask you this, because this is a question I wondered from the first time I saw it. Are these two supposed to be characters from a previous movie, or are they wholly original characters for this one?
They are wholly original characters that are only introduced in the mental asylum, so their backstory is revealed later.
Okay, because I know the first time I saw this and subsequent watches, I was like, are these guys supposed to be people from a previous movie? Were they part of the Dream Warriors? Were they somebody from Freddy's Dead? Like, because they do a pretty good job of world building in this, I guess, which sounds weird to say, but they do. I mean, it's they do a good job with the different backstories about these killers and the characters they've affected. They're all, I guess now that I know, they're all wholly original stories. Does this follow, like, is this set in the same world as Nightmare and all of its sequels, or is it just after Robert Englund died, they tried to erase his memory? Was he killing people like he did in the movies? Like, any insights on that for me?
Well, on Wikipedia, it says this follows Jason's last defeat, is pretty much all it says.
No word on Freddy, huh?
No, so I guess I don't know. The Nightmare movies are tricky because there's never any reason why Freddy's back. He's just back.
Yeah.
And
I
I
mean,
just and I think that I don't know, I would assume this is following Freddy's dead.
that's what I was thinking too, because it does seem like they've realized if you talk about Freddy, it gives him power.
Yeah,
And they.
I would say probably the only one that's not in continuity with this would be New Nightmare.
Right, and that's basically its own standalone thing.
Yeah. And so
We should
I
do that sometime.
Oh, I
I
love New
haven't seen
Nightmare.
that in so long. We should get Anthony on here. That's one of his favorites too.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, I haven't seen New Nightmare in a good while, but man, one of the movies that terrified me as a child was New Nightmare.
Oh, it's scary. It's a scary Freddy.
Not even like the gore stuff, but like when the dude's falling asleep driving home and the fucking claw starts moving around, like Jesus.
But yeah, so there's really good setup here. And again, I like the concept. I think it's pretty creepy that the town's authority is just like, oh, we're just gonna put kids in an asylum to keep them from talking about Freddy.
I do like that concept because, I mean, like, what else can you do? Like, this guy feeds off the memory of himself. He's a narcissist. I can appreciate that.
Well,
But
there's a part at the beginning where like, oh, the insane asylum isn't too bad because they're giving them Hypnosil, but then later on you see that there are people at the insane asylum that they gave too many drugs to, so they're like stuck in comas.
oh yeah. That
And you're like,
yeah.
oh shit, these adults are terrible.
Yeah, that's a really good part of this movie. And we can get there, like when the kids are sitting up from their comas. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. But we'll skip ahead a little bit. Lots of setup here with keeping Freddy under wraps, but
Well,
then
real quick about what you were saying too, as far as there's a lot of downtime where they're just talking about trying to keep Freddy out of the zeitgeist. It's like you kind of do need that, because what are you gonna have, a movie where it's just Freddy fighting Jason for 90 minutes? Like, that would get old after about 10 minutes.
see, I have something to chime in with that, but you're going to fight me on it, so I don't know if I want to.
Bring it.
That's my same logic with Halloween Ends, man. Is everybody's
Oh,
like, I want
God.
90 minutes of Laurie and Michael fighting. That is going to be boring after a
That's
while.
not what I wanted. I just didn't want fucking Corey,
No, I'm
dork.
not talking about you. I'm talking about there's a lot of people that are like, the last 10 minutes of Halloween Ends, that's what I wanted the whole movie to be. No, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, well, they're fucking stupid. That's not what it should have been. And it shouldn't have been some band geek running around with his bicycle.
but so
Sorry if you
we
were in band.
I was, thank you.
Love
So
you, buddy.
love you too. But skipping ahead, I feel like this movie really picks up, and this is kind of a twofer, because you were starting to talk about the boiler room. And I want to talk about something that's in the same set of scenes, the Cornfield Massacre.
Oh, yes, the rave.
So I feel like this is where the movie really picks up because Gib has a nightmare sequence and is being pursued by Freddy. Did you laugh or anything when Jason gets the kill, though?
No, I knew that was coming because that's when that weird rave guy's on top of her and he just impales them both with that, what is it, a big stick or is it like a pitchfork?
Something like that. Thank God he died.
What a
The
creep.
raver. Jesus.
Weird shit happens at raves.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I've never been to one. I just know people who have, and it sounds just debaucherous.
Terrible.
I'd
But yeah,
rather go in
so
a mosh pit and break my wrist.
but yeah, so Gib dies, and this is where Freddy's starting to get pissed because Jason just won't stop killing. And we get a outrageous scene where Jason runs into two country dudes that are partying and drinking Everclear, and the one's like, "This Everclear is kicking my ass." And I'm like, does he have a picture of Everclear? Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, how fucked up are you trying to get, man? Like, for
That
a
is,
week?
you're not gonna wake up for 3 days.
Did you ever have Everclear?
No.
I never did either. Some of the guys in my dorm used to get it, but I would always be a trash bag and stick with $11 Vladimir handles.
There
Ugh.
you go. But yeah, Jason shows up behind him, and the one guy that was talking about the Everclear is just saying absurd shit like, "Well, hey, Jethro, this is a rave, not a Halloween party. Why don't you go find yourself a pig to fuck?"
That reminded me of Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
You
And
saying
then
I
his.
fuck these pigs? Well, not you, but that guy over there looks a little sexually frustrated.
Yes. Well, then his buddy's like, "Invite only corn poke." I was like,
Yeah.
"What? What is this speaking voice?" But Jason just spins the guy's head around.
That's right. Yeah, he does the Mortal Kombat neck snap.
And then he pushes him over. Like, there's some comedy in here, but the one guy's like, "I'm gonna throw Everclear on Jason and then light him on fire." And then we got Jason on fire walking around through the cornfield.
Super badass when he comes
Love
out of
it.
there and he's engulfed in flames and he's just hacking people apart. I'm like, this is what I want
Well,
in life.
the flaming machete kill where he throws it.
Ooh. It goes right through the guy's chest.
Yep. And
Hey,
it's
by the
still on
way,
fire too.
yeah, was this supposed to be shot or did this come out in 3D? Because there's a lot of stuff in here that makes me think of 3D graphics. Like that, for example, when the machete bursts through the guy's chest, it's like, I wonder if this was three
I don't know.
dimensional.
I wouldn't be surprised though.
It seems like even the title screen I had it written down that it looked like it was supposed to be in 3D.
Oh, that title screen is so 2000s. I love it.
It might just be horrible CGI.
But this is where Jason gets put out of fire by a beer keg
Yeah.
and then just goes to town. I think I might have mentioned this for an episode that wasn't able to be recovered or released, but the Hard Eyes Massacre at the drive-in.
Oh yeah, that's a good comparison.
I might have mentioned that, I can't remember, but that this scene like the scene in that movie reminded me of this one with Jason just going to town on people in the rave in the cornfield.
I gotta say, this rave scene has become one of the iconic moments of the Friday the 13th series for me.
And you talked about the world building. One of my favorite scenes, I can't even tell you why. I just love the dialogue here. I think it's the best acted scene from the people in the movie. Is when they meet at that warehouse and the cop shows up to tell them the backstory of Jason. And then they talk about Freddy too. I don't know what it is, but I watched that scene a lot, like when I was first getting into this movie. I have no idea why.
Just that
No, not just that scene, but just like I loved the dialogue and the like ominous feel. 'Cause again, this was my introduction to Freddy and Jason. So I think just it's like, the Loomis scenes in Halloween. Like it just
Spent the
makes them
first
sound.
9 years looking into those cold dead eyes. I spent the next trying to keep him locked away.
It just makes them sound cool.
It all, yeah.
But yeah, so we have the Rave Massacre. There's a weird dream sequence in here too that I think actually caught me off guard, where all of a sudden her friends are talking about sacrificing Lori to Freddy.
And then her dad pops up and kisses her on the mouth, and it's
It
Freddy. That's classic Freddy. It reminded
is.
me of
It's fucked, but it is.
the tongue coming through the phone.
And did she rip off a piece of his head?
His ear.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay, 'cause like, yeah,
Quote of Mike Tyson.
in the original Nightmare, like, yeah, they rip off Freddy's hat, but like she took off a piece of his face.
She grabbed a man's ear. I'm pretty sure it was his ear. That's what it looked like to me.
I just assumed it was a piece of his burnt skin.
Either way, it's pretty fucking
But
gross.
it is gross, but it shrivels up too when it hits the floor.
No, that's not the only thing.
But then so they pretty much do what they do in a lot of Nightmare movies where they're gonna decide to bring Freddy into the world at some point and then have him fight Jason. But
Yeah,
before it.
at what point does he start making a defense against this?
Who?
Freddy, this is like what, 8, 9 movies in? You think he would know, like, oh, they're gonna try to bring me out of the dream world. I should probably not grab onto anyone.
I guess, yeah. But who knows? I mean, clearly he just goes to hell and can just come back again later, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Hey, get back out there. Get back on the field, chump.
But first they want to go to the insane asylum to get the Hypnosil so that they won't dream. But before then, I skipped over the one kill that Freddy gets in this movie. This is another thing people complain about. Is Freddy kills one person in this movie?
He kills.
He kills Will's friend.
Oh, yeah, but it's such a good kill, though.
It's a great kill, yeah, with a Freddy's back pun.
It's another memorable one for me because it's so messed up that he sees his brother dying in the tub with slit in his wrist and shit. Like,
Which I never knew that the kid in the bathtub was the bully from A Christmas Story.
that guy's had some bit parts in a lot of stuff.
So is the brother. The brother's in a shit ton of stuff, man. I knew the brother from like Air Bud and a Goosebumps episode.
Air Bud. Ain't no rules to say the dog can't play.
Jesus. Sad movie. But this is
Terrible
where some
movie.
bad CGI popped up though, is when the like weird tendons of blood come up from the floor and strap
Oh,
Mark
yeah.
down into the ground.
I didn't think they looked that bad. Did you think they looked shitty?
When they're going into his foot, yes. When they're moving, they're CGI and they look terrible. But yeah, nope.
Yeah.
Then Freddy throws him around, slashes his face, and then lights his back on fire. And yeah, the Freddy's back pun is I took that as a nod to Dream Master, because it starts with Ken Foray. No, not Ken Foray. What the hell's that guy's name? Kincaid from Dream Warriors does the Freddy's back.
Oh, yeah. I also like that it was written on his back too, so it's like a double pun.
And is Dream Master the one that opens with a dog like pissing fire, and that's how Freddy's
Oh God,
resurrected?
I have no idea.
But yeah, no, this is
Other than the
Freddy.
first three, I haven't seen those other ones in probably
Oh,
15
dude, Dream
years.
Master is great. The
Well, hey, here's the thing.
cockroach kill, man.
The cockroach kill. Here's the thing. It's like, it makes sense that Freddy doesn't have that many kills because the majority of this movie is about Freddy trying to get his power back. Like whenever he tries to kill the kid who Jason does with the dad on the porch, there is that awesome sequence where Freddy turns his shadow, you know, the kid's dreaming, Freddy's there, Freddy's shadow becomes its own thing and stabs him with his claws, but he can't do anything because he doesn't have his power back yet. So, I mean, Freddy's not really fully charged until, what, halfway, 3/4 of the way through this thing?
Pretty much when he kills Mark and then has to fight Jason.
Yeah. He's like an anime villain. He's powering up the whole movie.
Well, he does get powered up for the insane asylum because after they see the creepy kids that are in a coma, or no, just before that, it's right around the same time, either before or after, we get the Freddy worm that's smoking a hookah.
Oh, God. Yeah, with the guy that looks like,
Yep.
the guy that looks like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. Yeah, that Freddy worm. Oh my God.
That was some bad CGI.
And just weird.
Yeah, it just comes out under the door and it pulls out a hookah and then smokes weed.
But I do like that it goes down that guy's throat and possesses him. To me, that was a nod to Nightmare 2, where Freddy possessed the guy.
Yep, and he gets that guy killed too because,
Boy, he sure does.
Freddy grabs the tranquilizers to put Jason down, which had an insane Jason kill right around here because Jason stabs the control panel. At one point, and electric Jason gets electrocuted by the control panel, And then he touches the cop that's right next to him, and the cop dies by secondhand electrocution.
Yeah, and doesn't he bash his head into it as well?
I think so.
And it's funny, I was expecting the cop to be like this hero character, and it's just like, well, he's fucking gone.
No, that guy also has a lot of bit parts. Little Man and White Chicks. He's in a lot of Wayans Brothers stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Scary Movie as well.
Huh.
So Freddy possesses the stoner guy, grabs some tranquilizers, tranks Jason, but then Jason just cuts the stoner guy in half.
Another great kill. Like, how many times do we see a motherfucker just get straight up knifed in two?
Did you laugh when Will ran past the stoner guy, not knowing he was possessed? He's like, "Come on, man, we gotta go." And he goes, "Let me handle this, bitch."
Oh man, that whole scene is just wild.
Yep.
This whole
So
movie's
Jason,
wild.
it
It's
is
like a
wild.
fever dream.
Jason gets put under, and then this is where our first fight sequence happens, in the boiler room, because I just put that together. I was because the whole time I'm like, why would Freddy want Jason to be put under? It's so he has the home field advantage of the dream world. And then we get Freddy and Jason fighting, but Jason chops off Freddy's arms and Freddy just grows them back.
Again, awesome because
Oh yeah.
just the gore and the spraying blood, it's like Jesus Christ.
This is what we're here for, man. These fight
Yeah,
scenes.
this is what I've been wanting.
Freddy throwing Jason around and pelvic thrusting in the air to motion him. Jason does, cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, Jason's not one to fuck with, man.
Nope.
Not even in Dreamland.
Nope, but Freddy does overpower him with water.
Yeah, I think it is cool to see these two fight in the dream world because while Freddy obviously, like you said, does have the advantage, Jason's still not backing down. He's able to combat him right back there with his
Yeah.
own, I guess, thoughts.
But yeah, so then Freddy reduces Jason to his childhood form,
Yeah.
and then stabs child Jason in the head. That was disturbing.
Fuck them kids.
That was disturbing. But he wants to see what scares Jason because he's like, "Oh, you are afraid of something." So he kind of transports Jason and Lori, who puts herself under to try to get Freddy. They both go back to Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah, and I love the scene where it's like the Crystal Lake in Jason's mind. He's dragging that body
Yeah.
through the swamp, and
And
there's,
everything's underwater.
yep, and there's decapitated heads outside the cabin, and the cabin's flooded. I thought that
Yeah, he
was,
opens the closet and the girl from the beginning pops up.
it was such a good atmospheric scene.
Yeah.
Is that how they get to Crystal Lake? Freddy transports them there? But they drive
They
there in the van too,
get to
right?
Crystal Lake because they take Jason's body to Crystal Lake because their idea is if Jason and Freddy fight at Crystal Lake, Jason has home field advantage, and if Jason wins, then Jason will just stay home. So funny to say out loud.
Jason will just stay home. Here's a VHS and some popcorn. Stay at Crystal Lake, buddy.
At one point, they do say, he'll be home, he'll have no reason to chase us anymore. I'm like,
I
well,
mean,
he already left Crystal Lake to go to Elm Street, so
and New York and space. I mean, I
so
guess the logic makes sense. He only kills counselors that are getting it on.
yeah.
But at the
Dude,
same
this
time, yeah, he has ventured out every now and then.
dude, when Lori goes to the camp and like those other kids are like actually bullying Jason and they push him
Oh,
into the water,
yeah.
that was fucked.
That whole 1950s sequence.
Yeah, did you I mean, it's very clearly a dream sequence when two counselors are fucking like on the porch.
And the one's Freddy, and he holds up that girl who's now dead.
Jesus.
A little necrophilia in the morning.
Oh, that was fucked.
That was weird. Yeah, there's a lot of legitimately just creepy scenes in this.
Yeah, Freddy's creepy as fuck in this. He is actually disgusting. Like he usually is anyway, but this one they also amped it up.
And there's just like we talked about some of the other scenes, there's just really good atmosphere to them. The Crystal Lake in Jason's mind, the coma kids when they all sit up and are looking at the one character and
Oh, I do love that scene that they're whispering and we can't actually hear what they're
yeah.
saying, but the stoner guy can hear it.
Right. There's some legit scary shit in here. It's not just all a goof, and I love whenever it throws in some of that more
Well,
psychological.
I like that it's a balance too. There's a lot of dream sequences and there's a lot of Jason killing sprees.
Yeah, I thought it was evened up pretty well. Like you get the best of both worlds in this one.
Yeah, it's perfectly paced, man. It's like 90 minutes on the dot. Could you imagine if this was like a 2 hour, 45 minute movie?
I would hate it.
Like, this is perfectly paced. And then by the time they have their first fight sequence, it is just go, go, go from there.
And it
Kelly,
was earned. It was a good
it
build up
was.
to it.
Yeah. They're driving to Crystal Lake. At one point, Jason's going to get drowned by Freddy. Poor Kelly Rowland almost had to give him mouth to mouth.
Oh yeah, she lifts the mask up, and he just looks all crusty.
That was disgusting.
I wouldn't
But
do it.
Jason wakes up and flips the van. And then Lori has to face down with Freddy at the nightmare house in her dream. Looks like things are going really wrong, which they are, but then she pulls him out. And you know we're at a badass fight scene when you hear some like banging rock music when they're in the burning building.
Hell yeah, give me that butt rock.
As Jason's walking over and Freddy looks terrified.
Yeah, I
And
like the whole I thought it was a really cool shot too, whenever Lori is on the dock and Freddy jumps out of the water and it has that whole red hue to it because they're still in that dream. That was a really I
Oh
like
yeah,
that one.
that's a great sequence too, where Freddy turns into like Demon Freddy, and he looks up at the water because Jason disappeared, and he's like, "Yeah," and he jumps out of the water at Lori. That actually felt like a
Yeah.
nod to New Nightmare as well.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Kind of looks like Demon Freddy.
Okay.
Yeah, so he Freddy and Jason get to their fight in the burning building. And again, the rest of this movie is just over the top action. I do love Freddy kicks Jason in the balls but hurts his foot. Because Jason's got balls of steel.
Apparently so.
And probably simple, but one of my favorite things Jason does is he picks up Freddy by the shirt, slams him into a window, and then runs him through the entire wall of windows.
Oh yeah. I had to rewatch this fight scene the next night because somebody had parked in my driveway the first night I watched this, and I was still in a blackout rage like 3 hours later. So I kind of missed this whole fight scene the first time. So I went back last night and finished watching it.
And was it an enjoyable experience watching?
It was like Mankind versus Undertaker at Hell in a Cell
It
98.
is such a
King of the
great
Ring
fight
98.
sequence.
It is. And it like for a lot of times I would think the length of this, I would want to say it drags on too long, but this one really doesn't. It's pretty in your
No.
face. It's intense. The
The
action looks amazing.
last 30
Choreography
minutes.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew these guys could move like that?
Yeah, it's all in camera. It's no like shaky cam. There's no CGI when they're fighting. It's great.
Yeah, I thought it was a really well done fight scene, and everybody gets their signature shit in. Freddy like claws Jason, Jason machetes Freddy, and just super violent too.
I'm assuming that probably if Rey Mysterio did do something, it's when Freddy's doing those knee up kicks in Jason's ribs.
Oh, I thought you were
And
gonna
then
say
he.
it's when he hits Jason with the 619.
No. And he jumps up and does that elbow to the back of the head. But Freddy's doing like back kicks too, and Jason just sucker punches him, and Freddy goes flying across the yard. And oops, he hits one of those torpedo oxygen tanks with his glove.
Oh
And
yeah.
we get the great line of, "Man, the torpedoes."
And in other movies I've bitched about how people are suddenly martial arts experts, like in Annabelle. Is that what it was? Not Annabelle.
Annabelle?
Not Annabelle. The one with the little girl who's a vampire that's a kung fu master
Oh,
also, apparently.
Abigail.
Abigail, yes, I know I bitched about it in that. But this one, it's just so over the top, it's like, fuck
Yeah.
it, yeah. These guys know kung fu. Let's go.
It's great. But yeah, so then Freddy starts shooting oxygen tanks at Jason. And then Jason gets caught in like a construction site, and Freddy drops. What are those? Are those like big things of
Oh,
steel that just pierce Jason?
dude, I believe they are rebar.
Oof.
Have you ever had the lift rebar?
No.
So when I worked at a lumber yard, instead of getting a forklift, me and my boss just tried to lift like this big bundle of these things. Dude, heaviest thing I've ever lifted in my life. So I have no doubt they would fuck you up if they fell on you.
Well, then Freddy has the "Hey, asshole!" line right before he cuts him too. And then Freddy goes to drop like a cart thing, like a worker's cart down at Jason, but it gets stuck. Freddy's like, "Give me a break!" And then something that's swinging around, like a crane style thing, just knocks Freddy off, and Freddy falls hanging from it. I
I
do
feel
love
like
that.
that was a I feel like that was a nod to something too, where he's
Probably.
hanging from a wrecking ball.
Did you notice how long Freddy's able to keep his hat on during the fight sequence?
That's true. That thing
He
doesn't come
doesn't
off.
lose his hat until he runs into like a wall hanging upside down, but it's on before then.
Things glued to his head, and maybe it's just a part of him at this point.
And then over the top as hell is Jason takes one of those, things that pierced him out. He breaks it. Jason spits blood through his mask. But Freddy's just being slightly glided toward Jason and has that, "Oh no!" Like just really over the top, but he's moving like 2 miles an hour.
It's like Austin Powers when the forklift's coming at the guy.
Yep.
He's like, no, don't.
This is my favorite part of the fight sequence, though, is right before they get knocked onto the pier by the or onto the dock by the cart. It's like orchestral score, them just quick pace fighting, blood going everywhere. I get really like energized watching this part of the fight sequence.
Oh, hell yeah.
So
Did
good. But
you,
then
I could see you just putting your fist through the drywall. You're so pumped. Just
yep.
rolls, bam.
But they get knocked by that cart way
Kevin's just
onto the
watching Freddy
dock.
versus Jason again.
Oh, you know it. Jason goes to chop Freddy a bunch, and then Freddy cuts off Jason's fingers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was brutal.
And Jason just drops it and then stares at his missing fingers. Brutal as hell, though, like you said, because Freddy chops Jason up, flips him over, and then stabs him right in the eyes with his claws.
Yeah, they really fuck each other up
And
during this.
then he hooks him with his claws to like get a final blow in, but Jason's still fighting. And then Laurie and Will blow up the dock.
Well, doesn't what? Hang on. Doesn't Jason hack off Freddy's arm, and then Freddy's about to kill Laurie, and then out from the water, Jason comes up and impales Freddy with his own gloved arm.
Yeah, so right after they blow up the dock, they think that they're free. Freddy comes up, but it looks like a shot of Jason because you see the machete and just kind of ragged pants.
Yes.
So you kind of think it's Jason, but then it's Freddy. But right before the dock blew up, Freddy was about to slice Jason. And when Freddy turned away to look at Laurie, Jason like put his hand into Freddy's stomach
Okay.
and then just ripped his arm straight off.
Yeah, that's what it was. Dude, what a badass. Just ripping people's limbs off. I
Yep.
want to do that.
And then Freddy throw or stabs Jason with the machete. The dock blows up. Freddy comes back with one arm and the machete. And then Jason puts Freddy down finally by stabbing him with his own claw and hand.
How cool was that?
It was great.
I had totally forgotten how this movie ended. So when I saw that hooked hand or that
Just
clawed
come through
hand,
Freddy's back.
yeah, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. This is how you do it.
So Jason just falls back into the water after that, and then Lori chops off Freddy's head.
I love how nonchalant you say that.
And she turns his own line against him. Welcome to my world, bitch. And then he gets his head chopped off. And then they leave the. I never took it this way. I always took it that Jason won, but I guess they wanted to leave it ambiguous.
The director says Freddy won.
See, I always took it as Jason won, but
I think Jason won. He fucked Freddy up, and all that's left is his head.
well, apparently they tried to leave it ambiguous because is this a dream sequence that Jason's in? Is it not? Is Freddy still alive, but it's in the real world? Which, by the way, I actually remember before I saw this movie entirely, this scene of Jason popping out of the water showed up on my TV on like sci-fi. Holy shit, I ran out of the room when Jason popped up.
With Freddy's head?
No, I didn't even see the head. All I saw was Jason pop up out of the water and walk towards the screen.
It scared you.
It did scare me.
Wow, okay.
But yeah, and then Freddy we see Freddy's severed head being carried by Jason. And Freddy then winks at the camera. So they leave it open. Who did you want to win?
I mean, I like Jason better than Freddy. I just always thought that he had such a cool look and a cool presence to him, even though he's a Michael Myers ripoff. Like, I'm looking right now, I have a Jason trading card, a Jason mug, Friday the 13th Part 8, and a Jason mask all on my little desk here. I've just always liked the look of Jason. I wanted Jason for Halloween one year.
I did as well.
Yeah. Only I don't think we had a hockey mask, so I used like this ghost mask, and people were like, "What are you?" I'm like, "Yeah, just go with it."
I had a friend back in the day. We put together our own haunted woods walkthrough for people.
Oh, fun.
And I dressed up as Jason, he was Freddy, and we had a fight sequence in the middle of the walkthrough. And his dad pulled out a pop gun to shoot at me. Wild times. I also went as Jason. I also have a Jason mask over there signed by the Jason from Part Two.
Oh, nice.
But I am more of a Jason fan than a Freddy fan, so if I had to pick a winner, I would absolutely go with Jason.
You heard it here first. It's unanimous on Midnight Terrors. Jason has won the contest. Oh, you know what? It wasn't. I did have like a glow in the dark Jason mask that year, so it was obvious who I was. When I wore the ghost mask, sorry to get off on this. When I wore the ghost mask, I was trying to be a mummy, but we only had the shitty ghost mask, so I put that on and a white sweatsuit, and my mom put a bunch of toilet paper on me, and everybody still thought I was a ghost, but I wanted to be a mummy, so I had to
Beautiful.
adamantly
Did
tell them that I
you
was a
get
mummy.
rocks? Did you get rocks in your trick or treat bag?
I should have given the costume. Like,
I
of
got
course
a
it doesn't look
rock.
good.
Oh,
What's that
that's
from?
funny. Charlie Brown.
Oh, fuck that kid.
No. Great Pumpkin
Ugh.
Charlie Brown. Come on.
Ugh. I have no patience for Charlie Brown.
Oh, dude, I used to watch that every Halloween. I try to still when I can, but I am pretty bad at it.
Who's the girl that's a total dick to him? It's not Peppermint Patty. That's the redhead
No, no,
person.
no, no, no.
The one that holds the football and then he goes to kick it and douchebag
I
Mook
want
pulls
to
it
say
away.
Lucy, but I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, Snoopy's all right.
All right. Well, shall
Anyway.
we? I have one more thing I want to touch on with the movie, or I have one more thing that I have one more thing regarding the movie that I want to talk about, and that is something I alluded to earlier, which is the soundtrack.
Oh, baby.
Can we talk about the bands that are on here?
Let's get it on.
So, have you looked at this track list?
No, I think we've talked about it before, though. So,
All right, here we go. Let's see who's on here, because this is if the Hills Have Eyes soundtrack was good for you, then so is this one.
well, yeah, I mean,
So we got How Can I Live by Il Nino.
oh my God, I love El Nino. I got to see them at Mayhem Fest in like 2013. It was awesome.
Remember, this is 2003 as well. So When Darkness Falls from Killswitch Engage.
Oh my God, I forget they've been around that long. I always think of them as like a mid-2000s band.
Beginning of the End from Spine Shank.
Spine Shank. Why does that sound familiar?
Couldn't tell you, but that's a great song. It's the one that plays when the title card pops up. That was my impression of Spine Shank.
Immaculate. Go with that.
Beautiful. Sun Doesn't Rise from Mushroom Head.
Those guys are local where I'm at now, so they play around my town all the time.
I would love to see Mushroom Head.
I would too. The guy, one of the guys that works at my gym, he's a big Mushroom Head fan. I need to go with him one of these days.
Condemned Until Rebirth
Oh,
from
I have seen Mushroom Head. It was, dude, this Mayhem Fest tour was fucking incredible. It was like if you were a fan of metal in like 2000 to 2003, it was El Niño, Mushroom Head, Korn, Body Count. Like it
Nice.
was phenomenal. Yes. Anyway.
Well, we've got Condemned Until Rebirth from Hatebreed.
Dude, I love Hatebreed.
Snap from Slipknot. Army of Me by Chimera.
Boy, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
I'm
Didn't those guys go on to form Devil Driver?
not sure. I've never listened to Chimera.
I think one of the times they broke up, the main dude went and made Devil Driver. I could be bullshitting. Which I mainly do. That's why I'm on this podcast.
The After Dinner Payback from Autumn to Ashes.
That name doesn't sound familiar. It reminds me of August Burns Red, though.
I think they're like a post-hardcore band.
Ooh, might have to
Yeah,
listen to them.
from Autumn to Ashes. Yep. Leech by Seven Dust.
Seven Dust. Oh, man.
Bombshell from Par Power Power Bombshell from Power Man 5000.
Get up, drop the bombshell. Yeah.
Welcome to the Strange by the Murder Dolls. Or Murder Dolls.
Never listened to that much.
Out of My Way by Seether.
I am aware now how everything's gonna be fine. Yeah, that's Seether. I was thinking Puddle of Mud. Nah, I just read an
Inside.
article about the Puddle of Mud guy. He's not doing too well.
Yeah, I heard. Inside the Cynic by Stone Sour.
Oh my God, Stones,
So
Stones. I
Stone
guess.
Sour and Slipknot ended up on the soundtrack. This must have been bank for Corey.
Wonder what Corey Taylor thinks about that.
Swinging the Dead by Devil Driver. So I don't know about Chimera because they're both on
I
here.
look at that. Called out my own bullshit.
The Waste by Sepultura featuring Mike Patton.
Who's Mike Patton?
He is the singer for Faith No More.
Never got into them.
Middle of Nowhere by The Blank Theory.
Never heard of them. Shooting
Ether
blanks.
by Ether by Nothing Face.
Oh, no, I was thinking a non-point.
Trigger by In Flames.
What the fuck? Love In Flames, one of my favorite bands of all time. I didn't know Trigger was on this.
Did you say Trivium? Oh, Trigger.
Trigger.
Gotcha. 11th Hour by Lamb of God.
Dude, Trigger is still on my workout playlist that I just made. It's such a good song. What was the Lamb of God song?
11th Hour.
Yeah, you hear one Lamb of God song, you've heard them all. I'm not dissing them. They just have a sound that they stick to, and it sounds
Yeah.
good. They're fun to see live. Their fans are wild.
Oh, I saw them live on the Metal Tour of the Year the other year. They were fun.
Nice. Yeah, they're a good live band, but they're not a band I listen to on a daily basis or anything. Good
And
stuff,
then
though.
last official song on the soundtrack, We Were Electrocute by Typo Negative.
You know, I know we talked about them before, but they're just really not my thing. A little too gothic for me.
And then apparently some Foo Fighter song was featured in an alternate ending. But yeah, so But
Everlong.
yeah, man, so that's the soundtrack for Freddy vs. Jason, and that's Freddy vs. Jason as a whole. I love this movie. I never get tired of watching it. And it is only more fun with the more people that you watch with, so
We'll have to throw it on when I make my grand entrance to South Carolina one of the days.
yeah, we'll get wasted and watch Freddy versus Jason.
When I finally meet you in person.
I know, right?
I was on a podcast last weekend and the guy was like, you know, who do you do the podcast with? I'm like, oh, my buddy in South Carolina. I've never actually met him in person.
I know, I'm
Which
hoping
is
to get
weird
up.
because I feel like I've known you all my life at this point.
I know. I almost said 3 years, 2 years.
Has it been 2 years?
Yeah, March of, or no, late February of 2023.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, man, any final thoughts on Freddy versus Jason? I got nothing, man. This is a movie I love watching.
It's just a really fun time. Like, there's definitely a goofy factor to it, but they throw in enough creepy elements to remind you're watching a horror film. And I mean, you have two icons of the slasher franchise beating the shit out of each other in really graphic ways. Like, what more could you want out of this movie?
Yep.
And I
So.
remember when it came out, it got super panned. People were making fun of it. But I had that mentality when I saw it the first time. Like, I was just going to be like goofy, but it's pretty badass. It's a badass film.
Well, weird parallels between these two franchises because the next thing for both of them after Freddy versus Jason was their remakes, and then they have never had another movie again.
Yeah, that's pretty wild, isn't it? Like what? Nightmare remake was 2010, Friday the 13th was 2013.
Nope, Friday was the year before Nightmare, 09.
No shit.
Yeah, we have not had a Jason movie in 16 years.
And those films made money, right? Those remakes?
I know that Friday definitely did. Nightmare, I'm not sure.
It's just weird. You would think they would have kept riding that into the ground.
I think
I mean, at least Friday, because that's a character you can do like Michael Myers. Like you said, he doesn't speak.
I think Friday made bank but got really bad reviews.
So
And
who cares? It made
then,
money. That doesn't seem to stop him with any other movie. Look at all the Marvel shit.
I mean, Nightmare made
Sorry.
money too. It was a $35 million budget and it made 117 million, so it made money. But it also was critically not well received, so.
I mean, does that ever matter though? I feel like movie
No,
studios
the
just
ones in the
care.
80s were getting shit on all over.
That's a good point, yeah.
But yeah, no, so we've not had another. They're really trying with Friday the 13th, but it's stuck in like legal hell for some reason.
I remember that when we talked about the game and just the background of all the copyright and stuff you need to do anything with Friday the 13th. It's just a mess.
Yeah, I guess I thought I heard that Sean Cunningham was either he's the original writer and director of the like the original run of Friday the 13th. I thought I heard that maybe he got the rights back because the company that had him let him go and didn't make a movie in time, or he was trying to get them back or something. So I don't know what's going on there. I know for Nightmare they really want Robert Englund to come back, but Robert Englund keeps saying no. Which, understandably so.
Yeah, I think that time has passed.
Yeah, I mean the dude's almost 80 years old and he's still
Dude,
kicking for sure.
what?
Like he looks fantastic, but I just
Yeah, I'm shocked. He doesn't look 80 at all.
No, I think I looked it up when because he was at Mad Monster as well. I think he's 77 now.
Oh, man.
So I don't know, but yeah, I know there's that Crystal Lake series coming too, but I don't know what's going on with that. I feel like I've been hearing about that for like 2 years.
I'm not real big on horror series, though.
Unless it's
Okay.
Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, fuck yeah. Or
Oh,
Midnight Mass. I'll watch any series Flanagan puts out.
yeah. So that's it for Freddy versus Jason. You got any horror news for us?
Well, yes, it's not exactly it for Freddy vs. Jason because I have 10 things you may not have known about Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, bring that.
Only I'm going to skip over the ones that we talked about earlier. So
Okay.
already two of them are out the window.
Okay.
All right, so the first one is Monica Keena, the girl who plays Laurie. She was terrified of Freddy as a child, as I know I was.
Makes sense.
Dude, he was a scary guy. You know, if you didn't know much about him, you just saw pictures and clips of him. It's like, what the fuck is this?
Yep.
The ending almost included Pinhead. I feel like this is a well-known fact at this point. They wanted to do a sequel with Pinhead versus Freddy versus Jason.
Or they wanted Freddy versus Jason versus Ash from Evil Dead.
That's what it was, yes.
I did
And
hear the hell I did hear the Hellraiser one. Hellraiser to me makes more sense than Ash.
it does, yeah, because he's another one. Even though Hellraiser is not really a slasher, he's one of those iconic 80s horror
No, but
villains.
he would work in the supernatural realm.
Yeah.
So.
I was going to say something else, but as my
There
grandma would say, if I can't remember, it must have been a lie.
we go.
Not that I would ever tell a lie.
No, not at all.
So they actually had a mock weigh-in in Las Vegas with Freddy and Jason. How cool would that have
I
been to
do
go to?
remember hearing about this, yeah.
Dude, I would have loved to have seen that.
I think I've seen clips of that on YouTube.
Oh, that would be so fun.
That's
So
awesome.
here's what you were talking about. Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash was also a possibility, and it did kind of come to life. They have a comic book
I
where
was
all
going to
that takes
say.
place. Oh, I thought you had more.
No, I was just going to say, I remember hearing that it went to Comic Book World.
Yeah, I would like to read that. I think that'd be pretty cool to see. It has to be wild. I mean, you throw the Evil Dead on top of everything we just talked about, like what?
Well, I'm confused with that though, because they throw Evil Dead in, yes, but they're not throwing the Deadites in there. They're throwing Ash in there. So, was Ash gonna shotgun both of them?
Triple threat match, man.
But who knows?
All right, here's something I'm not familiar with, so I'm just going to try my best to read it. By the way, this is coming to us from the website of Screen Rant.
Shout out Screen Rant.
So, this is the ending could have been much different. Let's see what this is. I don't remember reading this last night. The final shot of Freddy vs. Jason is Jason emerging from the water carrying Freddy's head, but it could have been a lot different. They shot an ending that showed Will and Laurie making out on her bed before Freddy's blade shoot through Will's fingers. Like he's possessed. The conclusion didn't go over well with test audiences, so it was changed for the final cut of the film. The director, Ronnie Yu, said that he didn't like the original ending anyway, since he thought the last scene should focus on Freddy and Jason instead of the secondary characters.
I back that.
I like the ending we got better.
Me too.
So here's another thing we talked about. The director, Ronnie Yu, he believes Freddy won. Would you like to
Well,
hear his reasoning?
that is certainly not on screen, but okay.
Right. All right, so here's the reasoning. Everybody has always wondered who would win in a fight, Freddy or Jason. Freddy versus Jason sees these two characters battle, but there isn't really a clear winner. Jason emerges from the water with Freddy's head, as we mentioned. Freddy looks and winks. A Nightmare on Elm Street fans tend to believe Freddy won, while Friday the 13th fans think that Jason won. Everybody is welcome to have their own opinion, but the director of the film feels Freddy won. According to his comments in Never Sleep Again, he made it clear he definitely thinks Freddy came out victorious. I guess there's not really a reason.
Yeah, there's no reason. That's just him
Oh,
saying, no, Freddy won.
man. Well, that's all of them, and now it's reloading. So that was 10 things you probably didn't know about Freddy vs. Jason from Screen Rant by Christopher Fiducia.
Shout out. What were the two that we said?
We went over a couple here. Over a dozen writers wrote scripts, including King of the Hill people. We talked about Kane Hodder doesn't know why he didn't get to play Jason. And Brad Renfro, he was a child actor in the 90s. He was going to play Will, but he had addiction issues and stuff, so they
Oof.
gave him the boot.
Yikes. All
Nah, that
right.
sucks.
Well,
Bringing the mood down one story at a time.
do you have horror news for us to end on?
I do have horror news, and the first one is about a movie you saw this weekend, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
Where's my light? People who can't see, I do this in the dark. There we go.
Oh, that was bright.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, if I ever go on a podcast with video elements, I try to like light myself, but I'm so fucking pale, this light just blows out my image.
Question, Roy, when we podcast, are you sitting in the dark?
I have these LED lights I put on, but they're not really all that bright,
Okay,
so it
because I'm
looks like
just
I'm
now
in the
noticing
dark.
this. Like 90% of the time when I see you, there's like no light in your room.
I'm a horror author. I gotta keep up the mystique.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe I'm just a fucking numbnuts who doesn't sleep at night.
So this is about the monkey?
This is about the monkey. How'd you guess?
Because that's the only thing I saw this weekend.
All right, well, that was recently released. I believe it came out Thursday or Friday, whenever they do this shit anymore. Anyway, it was made with a budget of $10 million, and already in its first weekend, it has brought in $23 million worldwide with a $16.5 million domestic gross. If you're wondering about the reviews, it has a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 6.4 on IMDb. Metacritic is sitting at a 61%. We have some positives summed up. Viewers found the movie funny and enjoyable and enjoyed the special effects. Some of the negatives being it was a waste of time, boring, and a weak storyline with jokes just did not land. Kevin, your thoughts on the monkey? I have not seen it.
I liked it. Here's the thing though, I had a really different experience with that. I saw the trailer maybe one time and I hadn't remembered it. So I was very caught off guard that it was supposed to be funny. I went in expecting a serious movie, and as soon as those deaths started, it was like splatter humor turned up to 11. I'm talking like when people die, they like fucking explode.
That's pretty cool.
Like very much in the vein of Freddy versus Jason, but almost bloodier.
Oh,
Like I'm
nice.
not gonna give anything away, but there are some deaths that I'm just like, yeah, I know where this is going. And then their bodies just like explode. And I'm like, what? So it is a. It's not the best thing I've ever seen, but it is quite funny and pretty enjoyable for the most part. So I recommend it.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen a couple trailers for it. I guess I didn't realize it was supposed to be that comedic.
No.
I did see the production company doing some really cool marketing. Like, they had a school bus. I don't know if you saw this, a school bus full of decapitated cheerleaders that are driving around Hollywood.
I know
Just
where that comes into
crazy.
play, yeah.
Yeah, just crazy shit like that they've been doing. And I love when a company can get behind a movie and do that type of stunt promotion.
Yeah, we're off to a good start with horror this year, man. We had The Wolfman in January, Hard Eyes
Ugh.
in February,
Ooh.
and we also had The Monkey, so I'm good.
Yeah, and there's a lot to look forward to. Until Dawn's gonna be coming out. Woman in the Yard will be out.
I've never played that game because I don't have a PlayStation, but I've
Yeah.
seen it played and I'm looking forward to that movie. It actually looks really good.
It
What was the
does.
other one?
Oh, the one I'm looking forward to, Woman in the Yard, comes out in April.
Oh yeah, I saw the poster for that.
Just looks freaky as hell.
Yeah, you sent me the trailer for that. That looks like it'll be pretty good.
Yeah, so definitely this spring there's a lot to look forward to. All right. Oh yeah, I do want to see The Monkey too. My brother's a big Stephen King fan, so maybe this weekend we'll go out and catch it.
You should. It's a good time.
Oh, I want to talk to you about Nosferatu too. We can end on
I was going to ask you. I gave
that.
my thoughts on it, so I want to hear yours on the podcast.
Okay. All right, the last story comes to us from bloodydisgusting.com, but this was everywhere, but a horror movie took home an Oscar this weekend at the Academy Awards. The film stars Demi Moore and was nominated for actually five Academy Awards. You may have heard of it. It's called The Substance, came out last year. I've heard a lot of good things about it. And
Yeah, I know one person that doesn't like it. Everybody else says it's amazing.
yeah, I've seen a lot of good stuff on it. It's one of the ones I've wanted to, I think I said whenever we were doing stop motion, I kept seeing stuff about that in The Substance. So it's definitely
Well,
on my
that's
list.
awesome that it won an Academy Award. Hopefully, maybe the Academy will take horror seriously now because they've overlooked some gems like No Tomorrow, so.
So it won an Oscar for the best makeup and hairstyling. And instead of writing the people's names down because they were like really French or something, I said see photo, but I think I deleted that photo from my phone, so I'm not sure what their names are, but congratulations to the people who did the hair and makeup for The Substance.
Very nice. That's awesome. Congratulations to that team. I definitely will check it out and give it the support. I know horror films have been nominated. You know, American Werewolf in London, you know, obviously won an Academy Award or was nominated or something for makeup as well. But any Academy Award for a horror movie is a big deal. But they have truly looked over some great performances, like the mom in The Babadook and Toni Collette in Hereditary. Like
Oh, yeah.
when you said Academy Award, I thought for sure maybe Hugh Grant would win one for Heretic, but yeah. So
Oh, I have to do my sign off. There may be other horror news out there, but you won't hear it here.
okay, there we go. Well, let's end on this. So Roy, I gave my thoughts on this. I believe in our 2024, that's a wrap episode. But you have only just now seen Nosferatu, which I believe is streaming on Peacock.
Correct.
So people listening, if you do want to see it, it is available now to go watch. But Roy, so you watched it. You had said you weren't going to, based on my opinion, but I kept pushing you as well to form your own opinion. So, quick thoughts on Nosferatu without spoiling anything?
Yes. Well, real quick, I said I wasn't going to go see it in theaters. I always wanted to see it. I just wasn't going to pay for it if you said
Okay,
it was
fair enough. I
shit.
didn't say it was shit. I said I was let down by it.
Yeah, I'm in
It
the
is. Let me like for people listening, if they didn't listen to the wrap-up episode, Nosferatu is a good movie overall. I just have some serious pacing issues with it. I was not big on the look of Nosferatu. I thought that the first like 30 minutes were perfect. I think stretching it out to just over 2 hours was a mistake. Because there are characters in there that I just don't care about, and the pacing is just off. Like anytime they were cutting to things that I was excited for, they would cut away to something else, and it would just like really throw off the pacing. And then by the end, I was kind of restless when the climax was kind of drawn out. So really the pacing and the look of Nosferatu were big letdowns for me. Bill Skarsgård's amazing, but I'm not a fan of how he looks. But it is a good movie. I probably just won't watch it again because it just was not that great of an enjoyable experience for me. So
Yeah, I am in a similar boat, but for different reasons. So I love the look of this film. The 1800s Europe setting looks phenomenal. The costumes are great. Really, just the cinematography is very impressive in this and the production quality behind it. As far as the negatives, like the acting just got me. Like, I know they're aristocrats in 1800s Europe, they're not going to talk like we do, but it just felt like instead of talking with each other, each character was just reading their lines. Like, it didn't feel like conversational. It just felt this character reads their line, this character reads their line. So, to me, that really took me out of it and made me feel like I was watching a movie as
Well,
opposed to watching people speak to one another.
for me, I went in like, oh, Nicholas Holt and Bill Skarsgård and Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Willem Dafoe. I didn't expect to see him in there.
Yeah, I figured they had to do that because the Shadow of the Vampire movie where he played Count Orlok
Now
slash
I
Max
want to
Schreck.
see that.
Me too. Honestly, though, the Runaway, like the person that I walked away feeling like really impressed with from Nosferatu was Lily Rose Depp.
She was good.
I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, but dude, I don't know. There was something about, I don't know if it was the way it was written or how they wanted it delivered, but the acting just not, or the dialogue, not necessarily acting, everyone did phenomenal. Just the dialogue to me wasn't hitting. And I know you said about Nosferatu, you didn't like the look of him. He was fine.
No.
I like that they chose to make him. If you can't tell by what I was saying about Jason, I like they chose to make him really tall and big and this menacing presence in the shadows. I do
Okay,
like how they kept
so
him in the shadows a lot. Yes.
yes. So spoiler alerts for Nosferatu. If you haven't seen it yet, don't listen any further. Go watch it and then come back. But spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert for Nosferatu. Okay. The scenes in the castle and the build up to the castle are fucking fantastic. That whole like first 30 minutes of Nosferatu where, you finally get to Count Orlok and he's in shadow, you can only hear his voice. I wasn't even sure if that was him. And great build up. I don't see or hear Bill Skarsgård in his performance. Like it just might as well be a different person. He's that good. It's that mustache, man. That mustache is such a killer for his look. If they took that away, it'd be so much better.
I mean, that was the style back then, though. A lot of people were rocking the big stash.
No, I mean, I would have been fine, man, if they just made him look like Max Schreck's Count Orlok. Because that Count Orlok is scary. This one was not. Once he came out of the shadows, I wasn't scared anymore.
Oh, that's always the worst when you're waiting to see the monster in a movie and then you see it and you're just let down.
And then he, dude, the ending is abrupt as shit.
That's what I thought, too.
Like it is just like, well, they both die and that's it.
Yeah, because I'm familiar with Bram Stoker's Dracula the book, and there's definitely a lot more that happens at the end than just some. I mean, I guess it's true to the Nosferatu film. That's how he dies in the silent film. The sun comes out and he turns to dust.
Well, dude, I know it happens in the original. I think there's allusions to it in the book. That whole plague thing
Oh yeah.
is such a derailer for the pacing, too. And then Aaron Taylor-Johnson, love him as an actor, but him and his wife, like I could have done without them being in the movie.
I
The
didn't
ones
mind.
that she stayed with, I could not care less
Yeah.
about them. And they had like their whole subplot.
I didn't really mind that as much, especially when they all get feasted on. It's kind of like, oh damn. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was definitely an acting and dialogue thing for me. I think some things of the story were just kind of meh. Like, oh, the main girl was lonely when she was a kid, and that somehow summoned this ancient vampire
Well,
to
dude,
be attracted to her for all of eternity now. Like, what? Wait, what? Is that how it works?
dude, when they got to the
Can I
climax
be
and
lonely and get a hot demon lady? Like, how's this go?
Well, when they got to the climax and Nosferatu was like, "You have 3 nights to turn yourself over to me," I was, that's original. That's not in the old stuff. Really? We needed to add like an extra 20 minutes to the movie for him to say it's going to take 3 nights? Why doesn't he just kill Thomas or whatever his name is? Like,
Yeah.
that whole 3 nights thing was awful. I was like, fucking hell, man, I'm ready for this to be over.
You know what, it's gonna sound stupid. You know what pissed me off from the start?
What's that?
So within the first 5 minutes, we see that it pops up on the screen, Germany 1838. And Germany wasn't a country until 1871. It was a region. There was like a region where like Bavaria and Prussia were that was referred to as Germany, but that would be like saying the American Southwest, 1995. Like, okay, where the fuck in the Southwest? Are we in Texas? Are we in Nevada? Like, Germany's a pretty big fucking place in 1838. Like, was it Prussia? Bavaria?
Yeah, it just,
Any of the
I don't know,
above?
man. Like, it's an interesting experiment to take this 1920s silent film that's like 90 minutes and then make it into an audio visual experience. But I just, that runtime is just such a killer.
And there was an extended cut on Peacock too. I'm like, God
No,
damn, 2 hours and 15
see, man,
minutes wasn't
I don't
enough.
need that. Shave it down to 90 minutes and it's fine. I would love it and rewatch it if it was 90 minutes. The fact that it is 2 hours and like 5, 6 minutes is just, no,
Yeah.
I don't need that.
But to me, I'm like, to me, my dad and I had a similar sentiment because he took my mom to see it. So I texted him when I watched it. And we were both just like, it was all right. Like, I don't know. It feels like something was missing, and I'm not sure what that was. But I mean, it's weird because some people seem to love this movie and say it was the
Oh, there's
best
a lot of
film.
people that love it.
Yeah. Which, okay, fair enough. But
Yeah,
I
which
don't
is
know.
great.
For me, I can't put my finger on it. It just did not hit for me like I thought it
No.
would.
No. And again, by the end, I was just restless and ready for it to be over. So,
Just pacing around. What's this goddamn movie gonna
no, dude, I just literally, like, my mom was in the theater with me. We saw it on Christmas, and, like,
end?
I was, like, fidgeting everywhere. My mom's like, I could tell you were ready for the movie to end. And it wasn't that I was like, "Bah, I can't sit still." It's that I was getting uncomfortable sitting in the seat for so long. Yeah, Shay, this movie sucks. Yeah. No. I
Somebody give
just
me my pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, I just I don't know, man. I wanted that to be like my favorite horror movie of last year. And it just and maybe I went in with too high of expectations. I'm sure I will give it a watch again
Yeah.
with a different eye, but on first viewing, man, it was a letdown.
Yeah, and I've said this from the beginning, but there is such that mystique around the original Nosferatu because of how old it is. It's creepy to watch. Everybody in it is dead. It was written 30 years after the novel when much of this vampire lore was still widely believed, especially in the European countryside. So it has just that weird feel to it that I don't think you can replicate when everything is so secular and cut and
Well,
dry in 2025,
I tell you, I think
2024.
what we should do then, sometime in 2025,
Sacrifice a
is
virgin to a vampire?
no,
Okay.
we should do an episode on it with someone who actively loved it,
Yeah.
so we
Do we
can
know
hear
anyone?
their so we get what?
Do we know anyone?
I'm sure we do,
Yeah,
but we can get a different perspective on it.
I'd be down for that.
So let's see.
Hey, SK Era, she's a fan of this guy's work, right?
Oh yeah, that might be good. I wonder if she saw
Said
it.
she liked it.
I'll have to message her. I mean, that's it for this episode, man. You want to do your plugs real quick? God damn it, right at the end. That's it for this episode. You want to do your plugs real quick before we get out of here?
Oh, I sure would. You can find me. I'm a one-stop shop over on Instagram at author underscore Honeybrook. There you can find all the ridiculousness I post. There is also a link tree. There you will find links to all of my books on Amazon. There are five of them, only 99 cents. What a steal. On top of that, you can also find a link to my TBM weekly horror column. There, I talk about movies we discuss on here as well as do some other cool stuff. For example, we just had an interview with Haley Griffith. She starred in the movie Satanic Panic, had a role in the movie They Them alongside Kevin Bacon. So she was really fun to talk to. I was really proud of how that interview turned out. That's over on TBM Horror, and it is called R. Jacobs Honeycutt. You can find links to all these in the link tree over on my Instagram at author underscore Honeybrook. Hell of a pitch. What
Beautiful.
is there something else too? Is there something else I do, or did I get everything?
Think that's everything.
Okay. Midnight Terrace podcast also. I
There
promote that on author underscore Honeybrook as well.
you go. All right. And then if you want to get in touch with the Midnight Terrace podcast, you can find us on Facebook under Midnight Terrace Podcast. You can shoot us an email at midnightterracepodcast@gmail.com. And you can check out our link tree, which has our T Public store. The link tree is under Midnight Terrace Podcast as well. And you can join our Facebook group where you can keep in touch with the podcast and all of its friends and family. You guessed it, called Midnight Terrace Podcast on Facebook. Also, for Roy's TBM article, the link is in the description for the in the previous episodes for that. If you want to check it out, it'll also be in the description of this one. What'll also be in the description of this, Midnight Terrace Podcast is up for best local podcast in the city of Charleston.
Whoop,
And
whoop.
we are a finalist, and we would love to have your vote. You do not need to live in Charleston to place a vote, and it is free. All you need is a valid email, and you just place your vote. And if you enjoy our show and you're listening to this, we would love to have your support. And you know, we would love to bring home a victory for the show and all of our horror community that we built together. It really helps us out, and it really spreads the word about this community that we have going on. So, link in the description for that as well. So, we would love to have your vote if you are so inclined. And we will be back again with more episodes very, very soon. So, thank you for listening, and we love y'all, and we'll see you again soon. This is the Midnight Terrace Podcast. Peace.